Good afternoon from the KWAT newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. Lake Area Tech has reached campus capacity, and they continue searching for ways to get more out of their facilities. LATI Vice President Diane Stiles updated the Watertown School Board at their Monday night meeting.
Lake Area Tech has experienced 30% unduplicated headcount growth since 2013. So one of the things that we've been exploring over the past year is just how to get more out of our facilities. Our facilities are at capacity from when we went through our previous strategic plan process. So our fall numbers are on par with our fall 2016 numbers, so we stayed relatively flat.
Stiles says they continue to max out several programs at LATI.
The Build Dakota programs are up 31 students, and then our largest increases are in law enforcement, heavy equipment operator, automotive technology, precision machining, and diesel technology. So that gives you an idea of which programs are continue to grow and kind of just max out our capacity in those programs. And all of our divisions did grow, with the exception of both healthcare and agriculture.
Stiles says they want to continue to grow as South Dakota still has a skilled workforce labor shortage, and they want to meet the workforce needs of the state, including those high-demand programs. Lake Area Tech has over 2,400 students enrolled this fall. Dusty Johnson is feeling good about where his U.S. House campaign is at heading into fall. Johnson is running for the seat that's being vacated by Kristi Noem next year. He won a straw poll at the state fair over the Labor Day weekend, defeating Republican challenger Chantel Krebs.
More than 1,700 South Dakotans voted in that straw poll, and a straw poll is just an old-time word for, kind of a fake poll or a survey to try to get the sense of what people are thinking out there. And, we won pretty handily. We got about 950 votes out of the 1,700 cast. The other candidate, our Secretary of State, got 750 or something like that. And it's great. I mean, I feel, to us, that made it feel like we're gaining traction. People really appreciate the positive, optimistic, ambitious message that we're talking about.
Johnson was asked what words in his message are resonating with voters.
Well, I grew up in a working class family in Fort Pierre and Pierre, and a lot of South Dakotans are growing up or grew up in working class families. And so often what we hear out of D.C., now not from our delegation, but from others, is that the way to help working class families is by giving them more, right? Let's send more power and more money to Washington, D.C. so they can help us. That is, by and large, not what South Dakotans want. What working class families want in this state is an opportunity to earn a living, earn an honest living, earn a good living, with a job that gives them the kind of money that they need to pay their bills.
A third candidate in the U.S. House race, Democrat Tim Bjorkman, will be holding a town hall meeting with voters in Watertown tomorrow night. It begins at 7 p.m. at the Watertown Regional Library. SDSU and a state agency say they're investigating an allegation of excessive force used by a campus police officer making an arrest. Melissa Mentley says her two daughters were stopped by an officer while walking through campus with friends late Saturday. Mentley says the officer dislocated the wrist of her younger daughter as he wrestled her to the ground. She was arrested on a charge of resisting arrest. The older daughter tried to intervene, and she was charged with obstruction. Police or the university aren't saying why the girls were stopped by the officer. SDSU spokesman Mike Lockram says the school began looking into the complaint immediately. It's also being investigated by the South Dakota DCI. A tactical robot was recently used to help end a standoff in Vermilion between police and an inmate who had escaped from the Charles Mix County Jail. Attorney General Marty Jackley explains how that robot was used.
We had an opportunity to be able to present a message from a loved one or relative to the individual that was involved in the standoff. We didn't want, certainly officers to get in too close a contact or put the relative in harm's way, and so we were able to use technology. This particular robot allowed us to deliver that message, and fortunately we were able to end the standoff peaceably because of the robot.
He says this is not the first time the robot has been used to help protect officers.
We had another incident that was used in Lake County to be able to survey an area. And so we're trying to look for ways of technology to help better protect our officers and communities. And this particular robot now on two occasions has done just that.
19-year-old Jubal Grant was arrested following the Vermilion standoff. He was charged with escape, simple assault on a correctional officer, burglary, and grand theft. The Government Operations and Audit Committee of the South Dakota Legislature has asked the State Transportation Department Secretary Darren Bergquist to appear at their next meeting to answer questions about operations of the state-owned MRC Rail Line and Dakota Southern Railroad. Bergquist says they've been updating the committee on operations along that line.
If you look back at past discussions the rail board had, going back over the last year, there were concerns by the board at times with some of the maintenance activity that the Dakota Southern was or was not doing on the line. I think in recent months, a lot of that has been addressed. The board seems much more satisfied with Dakota Southern's performance than maybe they were at one time.
A derailment near Kimball brought the issue up again. Bergquist says that's all part of rail operations.
Derailments are an unfortunate part of rail service anywhere. We've had other derailments in the state. BNSF has had them. RCPE had one shortly after the Dakota Southern one. So certainly that probably brought increased focus on Dakota Southern's maintenance efforts on the state-owned line.
The case of a Minneapolis police officer who shot and killed an Australian woman in July has been handed over to prosecutors for consideration of charges. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension said today that they've finished their investigation into Officer Mohammed Noor and have turned the case over to prosecutors for review. Noor shot and killed 40-year-old Justine Damond on July 15th after she called 911 to report a possible sexual assault. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman says he expects to decide on charges before the end of the year. Nearly 2,000 people have signed an online petition to tear down the Fargo apartment building that was home to a pregnant woman who was kidnapped and later found murdered. But those living in the building say tearing it down won't erase the crime. Christopher Miranda says efforts would be better focused on putting up a memorial for Savannah Graywind. Balloons, flowers, and other items have been placed near the steps of the building in memory of Graywind. Two people who lived in the building are charged with conspiracy to commit murder and kidnapping. Graywind's body was found in the Red River north of Fargo. Police believe Graywind was killed for her unborn child, who survived. Graywind's boyfriend says he is the baby's father and has been caring for her. And it appears the Yankton Bucks will be able to play their homecoming game September 22nd against Huron at the rebuilt Crane Youngworth Field. Construction delays caused the Yankton Bucks to host a game in Freeman last week. Superintendent Wayne Kendall says they got an updated report and will be going through the final checklist with city inspectors next week.
You know, with the punch list, there's always something that maybe there's some paint chipped off somewhere or a bolt that's missing somewhere, not in our stadium, but maybe in a door or something. But, just those things that they check off the list, and I don't foresee any issues at all with getting in there and including the city agreeing that we're good to go.
New field turf will be added to the stadium next year. That's a look at what's happening from the KWAT Newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner.